Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Cabinet is due to sign off this evening on a range of proposals to deal with the refugee accommodation crisis. The plan includes limiting accommodation to one offer, increasing the monthly payment to families who host refugees from €400 up to €800, and looking at repurposing old army barracks as well. For more on this and to drill down on some of the detail, I'm joined now by Patrick O'Donovan, who's the Minister for the Office of Public Works and Flood Relief. Minister Patrick O'Donovan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac.
Now, we're hearing reports from the incorporeal cabinet meeting this evening. One proposal that I want to ask you about is that refugees will be given only one offer of suitable accommodation. Is that your understanding of it?
Well, look, as you can appreciate, the cabinet meeting hasn't finished yet. But look, what we do know is that we've made huge strides already in terms of accommodating the number of people that are coming into the country. Well over 50,000 already have been accommodated, and are being accommodated in a mixture of locations, including guest houses, B&Bs, private accommodation and elsewhere. And what we also know is, look, the war is intensifying. We know that. And the numbers of people that are leaving that country are growing rapidly. And Ireland, like other European countries, is coming under extraordinary pressure to be able to look after people who are fleeing the persecution that they're being subjected to. But we have done, I think, a really, really good job up to now.
But just on that issue, it's been widely reported that the offer now would be one offer only of suitable accommodation. It has been corrected by the government all day and yesterday evening. So what happens if they refuse?
Well, look, I don't want to get into speculation about...
But it's not speculation. These are the proposals that are being signed off on.
Yeah, well, they haven't been yet. And I think, you know, to be fair, we can wait the decision of the government. But it is important to point out that, you know, in the middle of a situation like we're in at the moment, where we have, you know, it's very, very well established, where we have run up to the wall in terms of the available accommodation, we aren't in a situation where we're able to offer multiple opportunities to people. That's just physically not possible. So our priority is to make sure that people are safe, that they're in warm accommodation, that they're fed and that they're looked after. And I think that's reasonable.
And what happens if they do refuse? For example, there's a widely reported case in Kerry, and your own colleague Brendan Griffin got involved, and Norma Foley got involved, and the families who were to be moved from Kerry up to Mayo, there were submissions made, and now they remain in Kerry. So if they refuse that offer of Mayo, what happens then? Do they have to vacate their premises in Kerry?
Well, I don't think that that's, to reflect what could potentially come out of this, because those people had been well established in the community. They weren't new arrivals. Their children were at school. Some of them had jobs. Like, it is important to find out that there's over 10,000 Ukrainian nationals in the country who have come in.
They were relatively new arrivals, I think.
Jobs. They were relatively new arrivals, but they had established themselves in the town. I suppose everybody's a relatively new arrival. Mm-hmm. You consider that this thing has only started since February.
The reason I'm asking on behalf of these people is I don't know where they would go if they refused the offer of accommodation and they had nowhere else to go. Where would they go?
Well, I think it's fair to say, look, that Minister Roderick O'Gorman's priority is to make sure that we get somewhere for everybody. And look, we're not in an ideal situation. Neither are most European countries when you look around them. We're taking per head of population, you know, somewhere in the middle of the table. There are countries that could be doing a lot better, to be quite frank about it, and that are a lot closer to the centre of the European Union that should be taking more. But proportionately, Ireland is really, you know, I suppose, and this comes from the fact that we are a country that knows what it is to have forced immigration and persecution placed upon our people, and that's why people have responded so generously in Ireland.
Yeah, but I wonder, is the generosity ebbing a little bit? Is there a hardening of attitudes to refugees in terms of the offering? Reports that there will be no meals provided now with hotel accommodation. Why is that?
Well, look, I think, first of all, I don't believe there's a hardening of attitudes. I think Irish people above anybody in the European Union knows what it is to see your population between 1840 and 1920 drop from 8 million to 2 million. So if anybody knows about persecution and, you know, we all see the celebrations that are in Philadelphia and Chicago and Perth and Sydney every year for St. Patrick's Day, that didn't come around by accident.
But taking away meals is hardly generous, is it?
No, but everybody that's in receipt of everybody that comes into the country receives a welfare payment, and everybody that comes into the country will receive accommodation. So any proposals that the government make this evening will be taken in the context of what's been provided for as an arm under the European directive. Similar provisions being made available as well for Irish citizens.
But taking away meals, is that fulfilling our international legal obligations in terms of protection applicants?
The Government of Ireland will fulfil its obligations in accordance with the directive, and we've made that very clear. It's European law, but it's also the right thing to do to make sure that we reflect on what was done for Irish people that were washed up in New York and Philadelphia and everywhere else. And we have a tradition of looking after people in this country.
Do we not have an obligation to provide shelter, suitable accommodation and food?
And that's why each individual person that comes into the country will receive a welfare payment in line with what Irish citizens receive. So they will be looked after. There is no disputing that or doubting that. Mm-hmm. But what the priority at the moment is the reality. Then I think that the Tánaiste to put it very clearly in the Dáil during the week. We are running out of space, and we need to make sure that we optimise the space for the greatest number of people possible.
Which is why you're now looking at refitting or renovating army barracks. And I know you're the Minister for the Office of Public Works, and your department have been involved in fitting out at least one barracks, I believe, in Longford. Why is that taking so long, or is it taking so long, and how is it going?
It isn't taking any, you know, longer than what we would have originally anticipated. But the government will make a decision this evening, for instance, around the provision maybe of additional accommodation. They've already asked the Office of Public Works to do certain works before. If we're asked to do anything else by the government, we certainly will do it. You know, we realise that, we're an agency at the centre of government that respond in the time of an emergency. This is exactly what this is in Europe at the moment. And if the government asks us to do more than what we're already doing by the provision of housing, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. You've asked as well, you've declared publicly that vacant Garda stations should be looked at here and renovated for asylum seekers and protection candidates. Is that something now that's being addressed in your opinion?
Well, we've volunteered all of our vacant properties over since I went into the Department of the Office of Public Works ever before the war in Ukraine broke out. We've offered all of the vacant Garda stations and other properties that we have as well to local authorities that could be used for the purpose of either community facilities and our housing.
Is it being taken up?
Some local authorities have taken them up and others unfortunately haven't. And what we have done because I've been on your programme previously in relation to the state's retention of vacant properties, we have auctioned some of them and we have made a return to the Exchequer. And we have also put in a deadline by the end of 2023 where we'd hope to have the remainder of them disposed of. And I suppose the offer continues for local authorities who, by the way, can derive a lot of money from the Department of Housing to refurbish a lot of these buildings. We still have engagement with some local authorities in respect of some of the buildings around the country, but some of them have already been refused. Those that will be refused, you know, we will have also offered them to the local communities. Some local communities have taken them on, but we will be left with a group of buildings that we will be anxious to dispose of, and we'll dispose of those in the same way that we dispose of all properties.
Isn't it amazing, Minister, that given the scale of the crisis and our knowledge of this crisis coming down the tracks, that all of that work hasn't been done before now?
Well, it was done before now, and it was one of the first things that I did when I was appointed as Minister for the OPW, is review all of the properties that we have, and we've made a lot of progress in terms of disposing of some of them, and returning some of them to local authorities and returning some of them to community groups.
But they're not fitted out, though.
Well, each community group, for instance, I was only down in Kilgarvan in County Kerry in the not too distant past, and the same in my van in County Kerry. They have, through the support of their county manager, for instance, been able to derive funding, which we hope to be able to get from Heather Humphrey's department. So there are sources of funding out there for local authorities, either from the Department of Housing, mm-hmm. Or from Heather Humphrey's department to do up these Garda stations. And actually, we have a protocol with Heather Humphrey's on that. And I'd still appeal to, you know, if there are local authorities out there that are anxious to take on the ones that we have, we'll gladly dispose of them to them.
OK, we await more detail of what the government signs off on, as you say, and that meeting ongoing. Can I ask you about another issue that's raised earlier today? Dublin's Lord Mayor Caroline Conroy on the News at One on Radio One earlier with Brian Dobson. We played a little bit of this earlier, but for the benefit of our listeners and so on, these are her reasons for cancelling the live crib outside the Mansion House this Christmas. Have a listen.
just to bring a bit more fun, excitement, interaction, try something different. You know, look at the Mansion House that was built back in 1710. The Dublin Corporation bought it in 1715. Mm. And I would love to just set that scene of a winter wonderland around Christmas, have the choirs there, have other people being able to come in, stand in the actual setup and take photos and have a bit more fun and Christmassy feel about the whole experience at the Mansion House.
What is your reaction to that?
Well, I couldn't believe it, to be quite honest about it. I mean, the crib has been for generations now has been part and parcel of the Christmas experience, and I was listening to Fionn there earlier on before I came on. Mm-hmm. And in fairness, his family have a great tradition of looking after the animals, and you could sense across the interview that he did with you how well looked after those animals are.
Indeed, yeah.
And the pride he took in it. I'd still appeal, look, for a bit of common sense to prevail here. This is a decision that should be reversed in the interest of the children who might never get to see a farm animal. I only have to look in over the ditch to see one, but there's a lot of children in Dublin who'd never see them. And then there's people from the country who'd love to go to the crib as well. And the perspex is coming down. And, you know, we've had two horrible years in this country where, you know, Christmas wasn't what it was. And it's an opportunity now to make sure that it doesn't descend into what I hope it doesn't descend into.
Like
the
what?
Crib is an integral part of. Well, the crib is an integral part of Christmas, and you can't have a crib without animals. And even, you know, as one of your texters said there a while ago, while they were secular, and I think one of your contributors said that they didn't believe in the religious element of it at all, but they believed that the crib was an important part of Christmas. It absolutely is.
But can you have, surely you can have a Christmas without a crib outside the Mansion House? But she's trying to create a winter wonderland.
The next thing you'll be telling me, you can have a Christmas without a Christmas tree, or you can have a Christmas without a turkey. I mean, like, you can't have a Christmas without a crib.
But she's trying to do something different, you know, here, the Lord Mayor.
Well, I don't agree with it. And to be quite honest about it, I spoke to IFA earlier today, and I would be hoping that the Lord Mayor, and this is something as well, by the way, for rural people that we're very proud of, that, you know, in our capital city, that we celebrate what it is to be from farming communities. Mm. But I spoke to the IFA today, and, you know, I would be hoping that the Lord Mayor reverses her decision. But if she doesn't, and if Dublin City Council can't reverse their decision, you know, we won't leave the people of Dublin without a live crib this Christmas.
But I mean, it's not her decision, so. She went to the protocol committee here. My understanding is there are three of your colleagues from Fine Gael on that protocol committee. None of them raised an objection, I believe.
Well, I spoke to one of our councillors today, James Gagan, on the Dublin City Council, and the Fine Gael councillors and Dublin City Council are united in their opposition to what the mayor is proposing.
Well, they didn't oppose last night.
Well, I can tell you what I heard today. The crib is an important part of what it is to have life in Dublin. And it isn't only a live crib in Dublin. There's live cribs all over the country, including in my own county. Mm-hmm. And cattle and donkeys and sheep and everything else, they were there in the manger when there was no room at the inn. And they should be there now as well.
So the Fine Gael councillors, you're telling me, are doing a U-turn here on this one?
Well, this to my knowledge, is an initiative by the Lord Mayor. But I would appeal to her to reconsider it. But if it isn't reconsidered, what I would be saying is that we'd hope to make sure that there is a venue found somewhere in the centre of Dublin. And, you know, the Lord Mayor talks about there doing something different in terms of, the Christmas experience. Mm-hmm. The Office of Public Works already does that in Dublin Castle. There's no need to replicate it and throw out the crib.
So where would you place the crib, do you reckon, Minister, if it wasn't at the Mansion House?
Well, look, I mean, the Office of Public Works, we in the Office of Public Works would examine that, and we'd hopefully find a suitable venue. But I would appeal to the Lord Mayor. You know, it's a part of a tradition now that has gone back almost 30 years, mm-hmm. with the IFA and, you know, and rural people being so proud of their farming traditions and their connection to the capital city. And as well as that, the integral part of the crib being the centre part of Christmas. Mm. And I would just urge that, like, interactivity is all very well and good, but, you know, the story of Christmas is kind of trumps it, to be honest.
Far be it from me to try and mediate on such an important national issue here, but I was trying to get Fionn Sherlock to meet with the Lord Mayor to see if we can incorporate the crib into the Christmas winter wonderland. He's willing to meet the Lord Mayor. Would you ask the Lord Mayor to meet with him?
Absolutely, and I'd appeal to the Lord Mayor to, you know, to reconsider this based on the reaction that there has been all day. from Dubliners and from country people and from people who are, you know, have a view of religious and non-religious, that this is just the wrong thing to do.
Okay, well, look,
it is part of the tradition, and if it's a thing that there isn't a change of heart. You know, what I would be saying is that we need to endeavour and, you know, throw over every stone to make sure we find a home for the crib.
Well, you're pledging the resources of the OPW to find a new place if there isn't a solution found here to this crisis. Look, Minister Patrick O'Donovan, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you very much indeed. We have yet to hear from the Lord Mayor.